We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His Word. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our God and Father, we thank Thee for that which has been before us this morning concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that as we consider Him, we thank Thee for the richness and the fullness, the inexhaustibleness there is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that as Thy Word is open, that Thy Holy Spirit may continue to exalt Him, and that the hearts of Thy people may be warmed and strengthened, and that any who are unsaved amongst us may be reached and touched by Thy Holy Spirit and drawn to the Lord Jesus. To this end we pray that Thou will give help. In the Savior's precious name, amen. Now in this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, from which we have read, we have brought before us the condition of the Corinthians before they were saved and since they were saved. You notice that in this portion we have brought before us that there are two distinct spirits that there are in this world. In the epistle to John, by John, why, the Apostle John says, try the spirits whether they are of God. And so we know that there are false spirits, even as there is the Holy Spirit of God. Our brother has been speaking to us about some of the beauties that there are in our Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to continue along the same theme by bringing before you four words that are brought before us in this third verse of this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You notice Paul says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Those four words I would like to bring before you this morning, the Lord enabling me. Jesus is the Lord. You know, friends, those four words are tremendous words, and I think that they are words that very well need to be repeated and emphasized in the day in which you and I live. I remember reading a book by Sir Robert Anderson called The Lord from Heaven, in which he brings out the various aspects of the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he emphasizes how often and how carefully the Apostle Paul is, as well as the other apostles, in giving to the Lord Jesus Christ the rightful title and honor that belongs to Him. You know, we're living in a day-to-day of familiarity. Familiarity in every rank and circumstance of life. It began, I suppose, some years ago when they began speaking of the president as Ike. It seems that on every hand today there's a breakdown of respect for those above us. We have it in the armies of our country, in the armed forces. We have it in every phase of our society. And we have it increasingly coming into the Church of God. And there is a familiarity and a carelessness concerning our Lord Jesus Christ that I think needs to be brought to our minds so that you and I might be very careful to give to him the honor and the dignity and the glory that belongs to him. Familiarity, they say, breeds contempt. And I wonder if that isn't perhaps one of the reasons why there is an increasingly lower standard of Christian living. Because we seem to have lost or seem to be losing a sense of the dignity and honor that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice he says here, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." As I think of these four words, Jesus is the Lord, why, first of all, it is brought before me that these are words of revelation. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is a revelation that is given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be convinced today that true Christianity is a revelation from heaven. True Christianity is not the intellect being satisfied and convinced concerning the Lord Jesus Christ or concerning the truths of God's Word. It is not a persuasion of the intellect, but it is, as our brother has already brought before us, it is the heart that is reached and the conscience that is convicted and the soul brought by the Holy Spirit to a saving knowledge of Jesus as the Lord. Isn't that what was told to Peter when Jesus said to him, as he asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" You remember that one had an opinion about him, he was a prophet. Another one, he was so-and-so, and he was so-and-so. And then you remember what Jesus said. He said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And you remember that Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you remember that the Lord Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It was a revelation that was given to him from above. And I wonder, my friend, this morning, if every one of us here have had this revelation given to us from above as we have come to the Word of God and we have read the Word of God. R.A. Torrey challenged a young man who didn't believe the Bible, who didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He challenged him with a certain challenge, and it was this: "Do you believe in right and wrong, regardless of what the estimator standard might be?" He says, "Yes, I do. I believe there is a right, and I believe there is a wrong." He says, "Well, if you will believe there's a right and a wrong, will you believe, for instance, that it is possible that if there is a God, he will do right and he will answer the prayer of a sincere heart who comes to him asking for light and guidance?" He says, "Well, I will believe that if there is a God, he will do right and will give such a revelation." He says, "Will you go to the Gospel according to John and read it for 1 month? And before you read, just simply pray the prayer, 'O God, if there is a God, and if you do really exist, will you show me from this book whether or not Jesus is really and truly the Son of God, that he is the one whom people claim he is?'" And this young man, after a period of 30 days, came back a convinced believer in the Lord Jesus Christ because he had received a revelation from above. Jesus is the Lord is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. It is something that is imparted to us from outside of ourselves altogether, and it must come to us from God Himself. And once it comes to us from God Himself, it is something that cannot cease to exist. But these words are not only words of revelation. These words are words of distinction. Jesus is the Lord. Notice the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He tells us in the 3rd verse, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. But though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." To us there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. You know, there's the tendency today to bring our Lord Jesus Christ down to the level of other religious leaders. Muhammad, Confucius, all these various other religious leaders are called religious leaders, and they ask the question, well, what is the difference between Jesus Christ and all of these other religious leaders? Well, the difference is this, my friends, that these men only claim to be men. They claim to be religious leaders, but they never made the claim that Jesus Christ made. And what claim did the Lord Jesus Christ make? He claimed to be Lord. And to the apostle, who at one time did not believe in this Jesus as Lord, to this apostle it came as a revelation that Jesus excels all others, Moses, Elijah, all the other great religious leaders, he excels them because he is Lord. By whom are all things? Everything came into existence by his power. Everything came into existence by his command. Everything is upheld by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lord, not a Lord, as though he was one amongst many. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. But you know these words, Jesus is the Lord, are also words of salvation. You know, it's wonderful, those words that we read in the 10th chapter of Romans, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I wonder if every one of us here this morning have had this experience. We believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You know, I think that Paul here is giving us an account of his own experience as a believer. In Romans chapter 10, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was one who believed in the Lord. He knew that the one that he was speaking to on that road to Damascus was the Lord. When the Lord said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He believed that he was speaking to the Lord, and yet he was outside of the pale of salvation. Until that voice came back and said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And the truth of Romans 10 became an experience in this man's life. He saw that the Lord and Jesus were one and the same. That the Jesus who was crucified on the cross, who was reported to be dead and in the grave, was really and truly risen from the dead. And if he is risen from the dead, this Jesus is the Lord. I wonder if every one of us here this morning have had that experience. I know a man in Muskegon, Michigan, who was married to a woman who became a Christian, and she became very concerned about his soul. He attended the meetings, and yet he didn't have the assurance of salvation. He didn't have the joy of salvation. And one time, one of the ministering brethren in Michigan was visiting with him in his farm barn, and he said to him, "Casey," he says, "what holds you back? Why can't you say really and truly that you're a Christian? You believe that Christ died on the cross, don't you?" "Yes," he says, "I believe that he died on the cross for my sin." "You believe that he was raised again from the dead, don't you?" He says, "Yes, I believe that he was raised from the dead." He says, "Well then, what holds you back from the assurance and the joy of salvation?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "I just don't seem to have the assurance." He says, "You know what is holding you back? The thing that is holding you back is coming out and confessing him as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You notice that 10th verse just reverses the order. It's if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you confessed Jesus is the Lord? Have you submitted yourself to Jesus as the Lord? That's why people don't experience salvation. That's why they don't experience the power of God in their lives. They merely profess, or they merely say, and yet they have never really and truly submitted to him as Lord. To confess is to submit. It's a word of salvation. But you know, Jesus is the Lord are also words of rectification. I don't know if you've ever counted the number of times that the Lordship of Jesus or of Christ is brought before us in the Epistle to the Corinthians. Over 60 times the Lordship of Christ is emphasized in one way or another. Take the first chapter and the 10th verse. There, the Lordship of Christ would rectify all the divisions that there are in Christendom today. Notice the 10th verse. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak, all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why do we have the divisions in Christendom today? Why do we have all the various opinions amongst Christians today? You take many individual Christians and you ask them why they go where they do. Why do you attend this church? Well, that's where my family always was. And you know, I've been born and raised in that. That's where I was converted, and that's where I go, because I feel at home there. Well, why do you go here? Well, I go here because there's a very gifted preacher. My, he has wonderful teaching. You just sit and listen to him week after week, and there's such an unfolding of the things of God. I go there because there's a wonderful preacher there. Or I go here because of this reason or because of that reason. The question is, why am I where I am? Why do I go where I go? Is it because this is where the Lord Jesus wants me to be? Is this because this is what the Lord Jesus directs me to do and where He tells me I should be? I believe there is need today of Christians submitting themselves to the Lordship of Christ in regard to church fellowship. Where does the Lord want me to be? Where does the Lord in His Word direct me to be? Here He tells us, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." If the Lord Jesus Christ means anything. You take, for instance, the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There we have evil coming amongst the believers. Evil finding its entrance into the assembly of God's people. And what does the apostle say in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians? Notice what he tells us in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles." Now we know that today the great religious sect are looking with complacency upon immorality. Not only a breakdown of morals as far as the sanctity of marriage is concerned, but even one of the great church bodies today is saying homosexuality is all right as long as the participating parties both agree and have mutual feelings for one another. They are not to be judged. We are living in a society today that is rapidly becoming akin to what the gospel came into in the days of the apostles. And as the gospel came in with power of the Holy Spirit, the result was that people who were converted from immorality. Sanctity of marriage was established and maintained. Immorality was here dealt with. He says it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this thing might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. And I want you to notice, he doesn't tell them, well, you're to deal with this thing because you may presume yourself better than they. He does not say you're to deal with this thing because it is a holier-than-thou attitude, although he does come farther down in the chapter and say, purge out the leaven, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. If you trifle with evil and you tolerate evil, eventually you will become evil, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does he say? He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the sanctity. It is the purity. It is the holiness. It is the character of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and his lordship that demands that an assembly of God deal with evil and put evil away from amongst themselves, that they might maintain the lordship and the honor that belongs to him as Lord. Have you ever observed in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians about the Lord's Supper? It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's body. It's the Lord's table. It's all the Lord. You go through that 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians and read over and over again, and it's the Lord. The Lord. It belongs to the Lord. The lordship of Christ is emphasized in the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the Lord. If the truth of those words would be engraved upon our hearts, it would stir your heart and mine individually and collectively to bring our lives individually and collectively into harmony with the character of him who is the Lord. In the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, Jesus is the Lord are words of transformation. We all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. In the 20th chapter of John, they are words of adoration. As Thomas, who would not believe, was brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw those nail prints in his hand, he saw that spear wound in his side, he fell down at his feet, and he said, my Lord and my God. And lastly, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the 15th verse, he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They're words of expectation. Yes? This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. We've got the word of the Lord. For what? That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. That's the one we're waiting for. We're waiting for the Lord. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. You know what's going to take place? Only the Lord could accomplish. Only He could break through the powers of Satan. Only He could raise the dead. Only He could transform and change the bodies of the living in a moment and catch them up in a moment of time. And then it says, the Lord Himself. And then it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. That's the one we're going to meet. We're going to meet the Lord. The Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Is He your Lord? Do you know Him as Lord? Jesus is the Lord are tremendous words, tremendous truth. They're the message of the Holy Spirit in the day in which we live. And if we're going to experience the reality and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our testimonies, we must bear and stand for this faithful witness. Jesus is the Lord.
Yes, Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of salvation. And so we would ask you to stand now and sing the first and third stanzas of 146. Jesus has lifted me. 146. And we trust that today the Lord has spoken to your hearts. You'll seek someone out that He might lift you. 146. Shall we stand?